nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, all afar about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's a fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
That's a beautiful way to start the service, fellas. That was wonderful. Appreciated it. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father's Day and Mother's Day are always two favorites of mine. My father recently passed within the last couple of years. And, you know, I've learned a lot from him, and he ministered to me in many ways that I didn't understand when I was a child that I do now. And the great blessings that he gave me and the legacy that he left me are much appreciated. For Father's Day, I've decided to read out of section 90, verses 1a and b, for a call to worship. It says, "Verily thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that every soul who forsaketh their sins and cometh unto me and calleth on my name and obeyeth my voice and keepeth my commandments shall see my face and know that I am, and that I am the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, and that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the Father and I are one, the Father because he gave me of his fullness, and the Son because I was in the world and made flesh my tabernacle and dwelt among the sons of men." Let us continue with the order of service in singing hymn 482.
Thank you.
our Father and our God. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we approach thee now. And Lord, I would approach thee on behalf of this people. And Lord, as you have given me a right to do this, I would ask of you now that you might bless each one here with thy Spirit, that you might come down and attend us, that we might feel the sweet impress of thy Spirit. Lord, I would ask that you would forgive this congregation of their sins, that you might cleanse them and make them pure even now. And Lord, I would ask that their hearts and their minds might be cleared, that they might leave these things at your feet, and that they would focus now on you, and that your Spirit would draw each one of us together in our hearts and in our minds and our thoughts. And as we listen to that great word spoken, I would pray for my brother Brad. Lord, as you have blessed him throughout his life and brought him to this point, may you bring to bear all of his experiences, his testimonies, the understanding which you have given unto him. May it come forth, Lord, and may you bring us understanding now through thy spoken word. Lord, I present this congregation to you and ask a blessing upon them, that each one of us, Lord, may worship thee now in spirit and in truth, and may our hearts be inclined to thee. And Lord, there are many here with lowly hearts who are carrying burdens, and I pray, Lord, that they might even feel those burdens lifted now, that they might be able to relax and have peace, and that they might draw closer unto you. Won't you do this for them now, Lord, I ask. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
It is now time that we set apart this portion of our service to give back the monetary substance that we have. And another thing that sometimes if we don't have the monetary at the moment is our time, and I have a little reading here. A poor weaver lived in Persia a century ago. He arranged to sweep out the Moslem temple in exchange for food. The sun's rays shone brightly down through the dome of the mosque. An interesting mosaic pattern was reflected onto the floor. The poor man stopped sweeping to study the pattern and that was created by the glass. Then an idea began to form. Why couldn't he try to weave a rug with a similar artistic design? He returned home, and on his homemade loom, he carefully created a design worthy of being called superior craftsmanship. This rug, a work of art, is now hung in an English museum. We may be of poor means, but we can do great things with God-given talents. Whatever our lot in life, we start with whatever we have, making wise use of our time, education, and abilities. We have the Lord to assist us, smoothing out the rough edges of our best efforts. Imagination plus ability produces creativity. Continued use refines and enhances our talents until it becomes of great worth, even of estimable value of God and man. Will you bow with me? Our dear God in heaven, Lord, I come to you now at this time to ask that you would bless the substances that we place in these plates of the monetary that you have provided for each and every one of us. May it be small or great. I would pray, Lord, that it is all created equal unto you, that you could use it for the building of thy kingdom and helping thy people that need it, to enrich their lives, to understand the glory that you would have for them. And we would thank you once again for everything you blessed us with, be it time, efforts, and the monetary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a scripture reading this morning, I would like to share from the 139th Psalm, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Thank you so much to my brothers for sharing that beautiful ministry of music, and Vida and Susan, thank you also. It is truly the faith of our fathers that we think about today on this Father's Day. And I would like to wish all the fathers here a very happy Father's Day. It's a day that we set aside to remember our fathers, or perhaps those who are fatherly figures in our lives. They come in many different forms and fashions. And I know some of you in this place don't have the good fortune of having your father here on this earth any longer. But I do know that there's a Father in heaven who loves you, and He places people in your lives that share that love just like your father would if he were here. You know, Father's Day, I guess in my lifetime, it seems like it's been around forever. It's always been a national holiday, but it wasn't really. It's really a fairly recent holiday. Mother's Day came first, and in the late 1800s, as a nation, we started to have a day where we recognized our mothers. And as I've always suspected, and many, I'm sure you yourselves have wondered, it was the retail trade that was very excited about having a holiday to recognize mothers, especially because of the opportunity to buy them gifts but the same somewhat with fathers. But the story of Father's Day is kind of interesting in that the first known recognition of a Father's Day was to recognize some people, some men who died in an accident in Washington State. And in fact, it was in Washington State in 1910 when the first kind of organized Father's Day happened. And it was the first time that a state, an entire state, not the country, but a state, had set aside a day to honor fathers. And Washington State happens to be, if you don't know, where my father-in-law is from, who's here today. And from that movement, there became some effort to make Father's Day a national holiday. Well, it just so happens that that really didn't happen until the 1970s. And so it also just so happens that on the very first Father's Day that was a national holiday in the early 1970s, also in the state of Washington, a little girl who I love very much was born. And I think that's just a neat thing that happened on the very first Father's Day. My own father, a few of you in this room know him or have met him. He was born in 1933 and left this life in 2017. He grew up in the state of Utah and grew up as a Mormon, which is interesting given our faith. And for a career, he went a couple of different ways, but eventually went to college and became a civil engineer. And so for most of his career, he worked for the Federal Aviation Administration as a civil engineer, and he helped plan and design airports for the FAA. So you can imagine, as a civil engineer, he was very organized and thoughtful and took a very systematic approach to things. And one of the best examples of that is my memory of his workbench in the garage in the house where I grew up in Albuquerque. So in my mind, it seemed like this humongous, huge workbench with this giant pegboard hanging above it. I'm sure it's not near as big as I remember as a little kid. But on this pegboard, my dad had hanging all of his different tools, and he likes to work in the garage, and as an engineer, he knew how to design and build things and figure out how to make things work. And on this pegboard, he had every single tool hung up, and every single one had a place, and around each tool, he had drawn the outline of the tool so that if one was missing, you knew exactly its spot. Everything had a spot and everything was in its spot. He was very organized in that regard and structured. He always had a plan. And we, at some point late in his career, he and my mom moved to Texas. And that particular pegboard didn't make the move. It didn't come with them to the house in Texas, but I remember much better because I knew that that house as an adult. But there was one aspect of the garage, of his garage, that did make the move from New Mexico to Texas. And it's what I refer to as the wall of jars. So my father, when I was a baby, he collected, or he saved, baby food jars. And I brought one. I wasn't even sure they still made baby food in these jars. But I brought one just to show you because I'm not sure some of the young people would even know what a baby food jar looks like. But so back in those days, when I was a baby, I won't tell you what year that was, but all baby food came in these jars. And most of the ones that my dad had were bigger than this, but this is a great example. So imagine, if you will, in the garage, a wall with about 150 of these baby food jars hanging up. So my dad had constructed his wall of jars, that I'm going to call it. And he had about 12 rows, and each row had about 12 or 13 jars. And in these jars, he placed all of the little things that you use when you're working with wood or in the garage. So every size and type of nail and screw and bolt and nuts and fasteners and hooks and all the things that you use in the garage, he had them all organized in these little jars. And you could just, there was a big display. So when we were working on a project or he was working on a project, it was kind of a routine. We'd go up to the wall of jars and scan through and find the size of nail or the right size screw. You know, I have that same kind of collection in my own, with my own tools in my garage. And it's literally this Tupperware container with a jumbled mess of nails and screws and that I have to dig through and scrape my fingers up every time I'm trying to find just the right size bolt or nut or screw or whatever. But my dad had them all organized on this wall of jars. And it never failed. If we needed something, we just went to the wall of jars and there they were. Among them would be the right thing that we needed in just the moment for whatever fix we were looking for. You know, on Father's Day, we often think about the relationship we have with our dads, with our fathers. And I think, as so often is the case, especially with Mother's Day, but on Father's Day as well, we can find in our relationships with our earthly parents many parallels to our relationship with our Father in heaven and the way that he cares for us and loves us and deals with us. And as I think about that wall of jars in the garage, it is to me, in many ways, very much like the way that God supports us in our own lives. So first of all, there is a foundation in our relationship with God. And just like this wall of jars had a foundation too, it had a backing, it had a foundation. The foundation in our relationship with God is that he has an amazing, unconditional love for each one of his children. And we know that he loves us very much because he sent his only son to die for us, which any parent knows would be the ultimate sacrifice. You would rather give your own life for one of your children than to send your child to be injured. In 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So the fact that he sent his son to die for our sins is that foundation, and it shows us the unconditional love that he has for his children. And because he created you, and because he loves you unconditionally, he loves you that much, he has a plan for your life. He sees you, and he knows you, and he has a desire to interact in your life. Reading from the 139th Psalm, which we read from earlier for our scripture lesson, but this time beginning in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet I knew none of them. So think about that. What that means for a minute, what David wrote there. That God knew each one of us before we were even created, before we came to be on this earth. And all of our lives and all the things that we do were written in his book before any of them were known to us. So that's kind of an amazing concept when we think about this wonderful creator who's all powerful and yet he knows each and every one of us. And I would call your attention to the story of Jeremiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, and the way that the Lord called him and what God said to him when he called him. If you remember the story of Jeremiah, he was in his early 20s when God called him to be a prophet. God spoke to him. And he said to Jeremiah, I formed you in your mother's womb, and I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet. So in other words, I had a plan for you, I had a work for you to do, and I knew you. And Jeremiah's response is, Lord, I am not a good speaker. I cannot be your prophet. And he said to him, I am with you. And he touched his mouth and he said, I'm giving you my words. So I want you to think about the pattern there that we find in that calling of Jeremiah. God has a plan for Jeremiah. And he called him. And then despite his uncertainty and his lack of confidence, he said to him, I will be with you. I will give you what you need to accomplish my plan. And so I think it is in each of our lives and in our relationships with our Father in heaven. He knows you. He knew you before you came to be on this earth. And he has a plan for your life. And just like when I would go with my dad to the wall of jars and find just the right tool or the help that I needed in that moment, God gives us the tools and the help and the aids that we need to get through this life and to accomplish his plan. He's prepared for each one of us, if you will, a wall of jars. Tools that we can scan through and look through and find just what we need, no matter what situation it is that we are facing in this life. So I want to think for just a minute with you about a few of those jars, those tools, if you will, those helps that God gives us in this life. And the first one is one that we celebrate today, I think, and that is our family. Our parents. Now, each one of us may not have been placed into or come into a family situation that was ideal. Many in this world are not. But nevertheless, there is wisdom to be had from those who've gone before us. In Proverbs, we learn a lot about what it means to be wise. In the 31st chapter of Proverbs, it says that a good woman, a good mother, from her mouth comes wisdom, and from her tongue comes the law of kindness. And in Proverbs 31, it says, a wise man listens to the counsel of his father. And in Proverbs 23, verse 22, it says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So in other words, listen to those who brought you into this world because they are the first tool that God gives you. Their wisdom and their knowledge and just the things that they have learned in this life. Second, he gives us his holy word, his scriptures. We read about the importance of this tool in our lives, if you will, in 2 Nephi chapter 14. Feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. So if you're wondering what to do in a situation, if you're not sure how to proceed, if you're not sure what you should be doing or how to face a dilemma or a trial in your life, you have the wonderful words of Jesus Christ in the scriptures that will tell you what to do in all situations. And next, in another jar, if you will, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings so much to our lives. It's probably not just one jar. It's probably multiple rows of the jars on the wall. But in 1 John, it tells us this. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit. So those are really powerful words to me, because the way that we know that God is in our lives is because of His Spirit. So if you've ever felt His Spirit, then you know that He is in your life and you are in Him. And that is an amazing gift, a tool, if you will, for no matter what situation we find ourselves in. And from the Spirit comes inspiration and revelation. The lectures of faith tell us that the Spirit is the mind of God. And so what better tool could we ask for? If we needed to know what to do in our lives, if we weren't sure how to approach a situation, if we're not sure what we should be doing, what better place could we go for an answer than the actual mind of our God in heaven? And that is the Holy Spirit that He gives you to work in your life. We read in the New Testament in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit. And they are many. And they are amazing. And Paul says that there are many gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are many manifestations of the Spirit. And you remember what some of those are: wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, miracles, healing, prophecy, tongues. Think about standing in front of that wall of jars and opening up one of those in your life. The wisdom or the knowledge or discernment or a miracle or prophecy. So I want to share one verse from Paul's writing, because I think it's something that we sometimes forget. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to go read about the gifts of the Spirit. But in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It doesn't say there that some people have a gift of the Spirit and some don't. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every single one of us. And so if you think that God doesn't care about your life, that He's not invested in what you're about, then think again, because His Spirit is manifest to each and every one of us. And that's the way we know that He is in our lives. You know, hand in hand with the power of the Holy Spirit is prayer. And prayer probably also is, fills up many jars on our wall of jars. Because it is the best tool we have to communicate with our God and to plead to Him and to ask Him for all these gifts, for enlightenment, for wisdom, for discernment, to ask Him to intervene in the lives of others. To ask Him to intervene in situations that we face in our lives. In Alma chapter 16, we're all familiar with this counsel about how important prayer is. Continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when ye are in your fields. Yea, over all your flocks, cry unto Him in your houses, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, who's an enemy to all righteousness. So this doesn't literally mean that if you're not growing a crop in your field that you don't pray. What this means is that you pray over your entire life. Whatever your work is, whatever you do day to day, you pray over your household, you pray over your family, you pray for those that you care about so that the enemy can't have power over them or won't have power over them. And so prayer is perhaps one of the greatest tools that He gives us. Another jar, if you will, another help, another tool that God gives us is one that I think sometimes we overlook. And that is that he gives each one of us our own intelligence. In the book of Genesis, in the seventh chapter, we often read and we talk a lot about the creation and the fact that God gave the gift of agency to man when he created man and placed him in the garden. But right before that, he makes another very interesting statement. And this is only in the inspired version, so it is enlightenment that we are so blessed to have. This is Genesis chapter 7, verse 39. The Lord said unto Enoch, Behold, these thy brethren, they are the workmanship of mine own hands, and I gave unto them their intelligence in the day that I created them. So not only does he give us agency to make our own choices, he gives us intelligence. So that may seem like a simple fact, but as a parent, you know, sometimes when our kids come to us and they want us to fix something, our reaction, our answer is, well, figure it out yourself, right? You're smart. You have the tools. Go figure it out. And I think sometimes God would say to us, perhaps when we think a prayer is unanswered, I think he would say to us, I gave you your intelligence. And think about in our world that we live in our society, how much good has come because of the intelligence of mankind, the way that God created us to think and to learn and to grow, and the amazing things that can happen from the intelligence of men and women. Joseph Smith, and I love the way that Joseph Smith III, in section 131, he used this these words to describe how the Spirit can work with us. This is section 131, 1C. In the still small voice, which giveth light and understanding to the intelligence of man, exalting the soul and sanctifying the spirit, there came unto me the directing voice of him whose work we are engaged in. In the still small voice which giveth light and understanding to the intelligence of man. So our intelligence was given to us by God, and through his spirit, through that still small voice, it grows. We get light and understanding. And section 90 describes intelligence as the glory of God. So it is a gift. It is a tool. It is something that we should use. It is something that oftentimes we can use to figure out the right path or the right answer. Another help, another tool that he gives us is each other. Look around this room of people that are gathered here today. In Proverbs, it tells us that if we walk with those who are wise, we will become wise. So it's no surprise that he has placed this organization, this church, for us to benefit from the wisdom of each other, to benefit from the wisdom of those around you who perhaps have traveled a path before you or have traveled your path longer than you have. Another tool, another help that God gives us, I think, is the benefit of history and the ability to learn and the ability to have books and writings of all the things that have happened in the past. Section 85 tells us, admonishes us to seek learning even by study and to seek words of wisdom out of the best books. And so there is benefit to us in searching things out and learning and growing and developing. In Proverbs, it tells us that the wise will increase in learning. So part of the way that we become wise, that we become smart, is by leveraging the wisdom of those around us and by leveraging the wisdom of those who are smart, who have written things down for us, who have perhaps chronicled their history and their journey before us. So I hope I'm painting a picture for you that in your life, no matter what situation you find yourself in, there is this wall of baby food jars full of all these tools and things that you need, no matter what situation you find yourselves in. You know, one of the characteristics of my earthly father is that he wasn't pushy. He was pretty quiet, and he wasn't necessarily one who would ever insert himself into a situation. He was often the one who would sit back quietly and observe. And if you sought him out, if you asked his opinion or if you asked for help, he was the very first one to help or to offer his advice. But he was never pushy about it. And he sometimes in my life appeared to never be there. And yet looking back, he was always there. And with our Father in heaven, I think it is very much the same. He's waiting for you to seek him out. He's not going to insert himself in your life, but he's always there. His wall of jars, if you will, is out there in the garage waiting for you to come check it out. You know, Paul also in Corinthians, when he talked about the gifts of the Spirit, he said that we should earnestly covet the best gifts. In other words, to covet something means I want it, and I should seek it. We should want those gifts. We should want those tools and blessings and helps that God gives us, but we have to seek them out. God gives you tools, but he doesn't do the work for you all the time. How many times do we read in Scripture, in all three books of Scripture, knock and it shall be opened to you, seek and you will find. But we have to take the action first. We have to knock, we have to ask, we have to seek. So I mentioned that my parents moved to Texas and even though parts of the workbench didn't make the move to Texas, the wall of jars certainly did, and it was hung up in the house in Texas. And recently we reached somewhat of a milestone, I guess, in our family. So after my father passed away, my brother and his family moved into the house that my parents had lived in. And so for a few years we've been able to go visit, and when we go visit, we see the house. It's the house that my parents lived in, and the wall of jars is out there in the garage. Well, just last month, my brother and his family moved out of that house and decided it was time for them to build their own house, design their own. And so I was there with them, helping them get moved out. And the very last thing we came to in the garage, as we had pretty much the house emptied out, and it was just the garage. And the last thing we came to in the garage to get packed up was the wall of jars. And so there it hung, still all of the 150 baby food jars with all the tools, all the little gadgets. And we thought about it, and we talked about it, and we made a decision that we were going to leave the wall of jars for the next owner. And in my mind, somehow, it just belonged there as a testament to my dad, but also as somewhat of an offering to those who would come and make that place their home, that family that was about to move in. A built-in set of tools and helps, just the right thing to fix the problem of the moment. And so it is for each one of us with our God in heaven, our Heavenly Father. He prepares this array of tools for your life, of aids, of assists, of helps. It's there for each and every one of us, just like we left those jars hanging in the garage for the next homeowners. It's there for you and for me. And so on this Father's Day, as we honor our earthly fathers, I would desire that you know that there is a Father up in heaven who formed every single one of you in the beginning, before you were even here on this earth. And that he loves you even more than your earthly fathers can love you. And that he wants to be a part of your life. He knows you and he is aware of you. We read from the 139th Psalm to start this morning. And David said to God, you know when I get up, you know when I go out, you know when I come home and rest, you know everything that I say. He knows you. And he cares about you. Jesus, when he was here on the earth, said these words to his followers. And this is in the book of Luke, chapter 12. And he said to his disciples, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? So he says to his disciples, 5 sparrows are worth these 2 gold coins, and not one of, which is not very much, right? 5 birds for 2 coins, and not one of those birds, which is not worth much according to the way we measure value on the earth, not one of them is forgotten before God. But then he says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I know that he says the same to you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And you are worth so much more to him than any bird or any of his other creation. In Alma, we read about the resurrection of the just. We read about when our spiritual body will be reunited with our physical form. And it says all will be restored. Not even a hair of our head will be lost. So how great is our God and how great is his love for you if he knows how many hairs you have on your head, or used to have in some cases. But they're numbered to him because he loves you and he cares about you and he has a plan for you. So I would leave you today with the challenge to seek out your Father in heaven, to find his plan for your life, to go out in the garage, if you will, and stand in front of that wall of jars, because I guarantee you that right there in front of you is the tool that you need in this moment or in any moment. He loves you and he has a plan for your life. And he desires to walk with you.
Our Lord in heaven, our Heavenly Father, who has watched over each of us in our individual lives in times that we did not even realize, you were there, you were guiding and directing, you were protecting, informing all things around us that we might have the opportunity to know you. Help us, Lord, that we might take upon us this opportunity to know you, to know your plan, not only for our lives, but for all things, to enlighten our minds, to lighten our souls, to give us understanding and direction. We pray, Father, that we might draw near to you, that we indeed would be your children, that you would be our Father even in heaven, and that we would obey your laws and seek to serve you throughout all of our lives. Bless us as we leave this place. Be with us in our task through this week, and help us in all things, we pray and ask, and we give you thanks even through the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.